You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, over to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your work, your saving grace. So deal with us. We want to have the advantage of being assembled together on your day, looking to you, that we might proceed forward to the hours that lie ahead with more assurance, much assurance, and the surety of the blessed hope. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our light of a study of the Gospel of John in the upper room, and picking all that thought up again for a little bit since we've been sidetracked for a moment, in the light of that, reminding you that the disciples have been with our Lord for 3 1/3 years. And in the process of that, they have left everything, their normal, ordinary life as fishermen, tax collectors. They have left that. And they haven't had family life as you would think of it. They weren't with their families. That doesn't mean they didn't see him, but they just weren't with him. They were with him. Now, did they lose out? Oh, no. You never lose out. You can't do the will of God, honor the will of God, and come out short. Just can't do it. God wouldn't let it happen. And when you think it does happen, take another look. Because maybe it's a blessing and you don't even know it. Now, so here we are looking, and they have come, and they have their normal life. That's the point. They live a normal life. He has an awesome life as the God-man. They're with him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're with him. But they don't have what he has. They reap the benefits of his presence, his influence, his power, no question. But they never have it. So he has life, and they don't have life. You read in Matthew 6, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't have a divided mind about this and that and eating and drinking and clothing and coming and going. Don't do that. You don't have to do that. The world does that. The world needs to do that. You don't need to do that. You need to look to the living and only God and seek him with all your heart, and you'll find him. He's right there. He says it over and over and over again. Seek me with all your heart, and you'll find me. Can't do better than that. Nope. The invisible, infinite God. Now, so our Lord has something they don't have. And he's preparing them, in the sense, in the upper room, he certainly is, for the awesome benefits that are to follow. And we share together in John chapter 14, as you know, 12, 13, 14, greater works than I do. And all of these things are going to have, ask whatever you will in my name and I will do it. A wonderful, the Father may be glorified. All of this is going to happen. Because why? Because God is going to have a unique, wonderful relationship to those dear disciples and to the church to follow that no one else will ever have. Not like that. Old Testament, Moses, wow. David, Jeremiah, into the millennium, wow. No, no one will ever have. Because the church, God is demonstrating his wonderful person. His resurrected, the only sign going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah, as 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he's going to show them an empty tomb, and an empty tomb is all they're going to see. And he never shows himself in his resurrection to the unsaved. Only to the handful of believers that are what? Are going to be his witnesses. And then, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he's going to go and give power, the dynamic, the dynamo, the awesome movement to make believers able to have what he has. That's what they don't have in the upper room, John chapter 15. And that's why John 15, 16, and 17, why God adds it, why God recorded it, why God let it happen, so that they would understand. Not prisoned, they weren't going to go to prison, not yet. They weren't going to go and die, no, they weren't going to have that. They're going to be, God's going to make them, the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, don't worry. They don't worry. You don't worry. Now, so here they are going, and John chapter 15, we shared together, that they were to go and abide, in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. So no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now God, what do you say? It's a wonderful, you got to have a unique relationship. A wonderful relationship. That's why the church age, the church represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know the Lord as your Savior, you are not only placed, baptized into that body, but you're all the list. You are called a child of God. You are a son of God. You are a son of God. The Son, sons. Awesome. Where else? No, I don't find that. But here, that's what we have. This unique, that's a relationship. They were to approach and understand the need for it. They needed to abide. Now, as we do this, if you just don't get caught up in it, but all of you have seen the trees as long as you have eyesight. Did you see the trees spring at the... That trees and the leaves, no fruit mostly. Now, when you go out, take another look at the trees. Any tree you want, any plant you want, and tell me what the branch is doing to enjoy having leaves and ultimately fruit. Tell me what you see the branch is doing. Can't you see them reaching out, grabbing the trunk? Hold the trunk. Okay, let go. No, they don't. They just sit there. See them sit there? And they sit there. We could spend the rest of the time and just say it. So what? We eventually get what? Sit there. Abide. Dwell. Rest. That's what he says. All of life is doing it. You do it. Without me, nothing's going to happen. The tree's wonderful. Branches out here, they aren't going to do anything. The branch has to be abiding. If the branch doesn't abide, nothing's going to happen. Now, And awesome things are going to happen. The branch is, as we shared to remind you, the branch isn't like the hose we had. No, the branch is of the same kind as the tree. The sun, sons, the same. You see one, you follow the branch, and you see you don't change the texture, right from the grapevine all the way to the, all from the twig, from the branch, all the way over. It's the same. So that we're able to what? Not be like a hose, to be able to share the life, the wonderful life that God has. That's what he's trying to help them understand. And unless you abide, none of that is going to happen. And it isn't a trick. It isn't a big magical thing. It isn't a thing you work at and earn it and you'll merit it and you'll be good enough. You'll never be good enough apart from him. He is good enough. Now, when you get to heaven, you'll be good enough. But you'll only be good enough because he's good enough and he made you all good enough. Did that come out all right? He made you all good. All good. Old nature, no more bad. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking. And you tell us, verse 4 and 5, we need to abide. We need to go and rest in your awesome presence in a most wonderful way. And if we don't abide, the realities of life are going to come, but we're not going to be able to do it. Hang in there. Think of the branch again. The branch and the tree is going to have all the little bugs are there, and all the everything else is there. The wind's going to blow, and the everything and what? It's just going to stay there. And as long as it abides, and the tree's healthy, God is healthy, isn't he? Is God healthy in Christ? Is God healthy in you? How healthy is God in you? Wow. I need to understand that so that I can understand God. They're trying to tell me that you're able to do. Now, with that little word able, let's slide over to verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot, do you see the little word C-A-N, can, that is the word abide, dynamite, dynamo, etc. Abide. Power, ableness, able. And thus you have, verse 4 again, I'll do it, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot, is not able, to bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. So here, looking at God's wonderful, wonderful grace, and that, to be able to whatever, and therefore, how are we going to handle life's realities? We can't escape them. They're inescapable. We can't avoid them. We live in reality, even though we want to make believe. We live in it. So there's no way to avoid, no way to escape. And God knows that. And therefore, when you trust the Lord as your Savior, God is going to go and do a wonderful thing in your heart. And God is going to go, and like we shared before, you don't have instinct. Animals, bugs, bees, all of them have awesome instinct. You aren't like an angel, spirit being, you aren't like that. You're a human, made of the dust of the ground. Now, and in the process of being the dust of the ground, God has created you in his image and likeness. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God has created you for himself. So when God looks at you, he sees himself. Like in a mirror. He looks and sees himself. What's he going to do? We're flesh. God is the invisible, infinite God. We're going to find and know God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, having been crucified and risen again. We're going to know. And we're going to know another way. God is going to show us humans. Being indwelt by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the Son of God, God is going to show his marvelous person by way of persons that he's God. And he's going to do it not with super-duper glorified bodies. He's going to do it with this human body of dust, just like everybody else. Same mumps, same measles, same everything, only a difference. That you, as we share, as you know, you are living the ordinary life in an extraordinary way by God. And the only explanation for your life is God. You read it. Don't worry about anything. The only explanation is God. Who gets all the glory? Who gets all the credit? Who is congratulated? God is. It's his life that he gives. Now, we hit the little word can, do it again. And if I can, slide down to verse 5. I am the vine, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can, there's your little word, able, can is able, to do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, without me, you can do nothing, and you're able. Now, so God, here's the branch. The branch has to be attached, abiding in the tree, in the vine. And if the branch doesn't abide in the vine, then it has no life, nothing. And so when it not only had the branch has all of the life-giving sap and fluid flowing through it, all of it, all the need that the branch has is coming from the tree, all of it. All that we have is in Christ, and it's coming to us in such a way to overflow, so we're full. There's a fullness to it. Is there any shortage? Is there any stinginess? Is there anything amiss, amok? No. The branch, God in Christ, perfectly fills his wonderful person, like we did in Sunday school and all of that. I am to Moses. I am, what shall I call you? What shall the people know, want to know your name? I am that I am. I am a verb, I am, and then a little pronoun in there. That, explanation, I am that I am. What am I going to tell the people? I am. I am. I am everything I am. How much more do you want? I am. Now, God in Christ is doing that for the believers, and he is able. We are unable, the branch is unable to produce in any way, shape, or form apart from that. But when the branch is rightly related, it's able to do exceedingly wonderful things. Now, in order to just catch the flavor of that again, because if you're a believer, and I hope you are, and you're resting in the person and work of Christ, which we ought to do. And by the way, coming up, we'll see it if the Lord tarries and we get there in John 15. Now, God, what's going to happen? If you're going to abide, if you are abiding, you're going to produce much fruit. And therefore, you'll know the believer because you'll see the fruit. Abide. Love, joy, peace, the Spirit of God's ministry. Don't see it, then there's no abiding. It's very rare to find abiding, isn't it? We just had a conference. Dear people, abiding. Abiding, abiding, abiding. The fruit, the fruit, the fruit. Where's the fruit? Where's God? Now, Having said that, to remind us, over if you would please to Matthew and chapter 19. And let me just quickly rehearse and come forward. Matthew chapter 19. Abel, God said we're Abel. Without him you can't, but with him you're able. Now God, are you able? Absolutely. And we need to understand that. God is quite able to be God. I am that I am. Whatever you need. Matthew chapter 19, verse 24. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That's a sewing needle, by the way. So you want to know how big a needle? It's a sewing needle. And the average sewing needle is small. And you may or may not get the thread through it. Verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? Verse 26. And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, not able, but with God all things are possible or able. Now God, it's impossible for people to get, it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Can't go through the eye of a needle. That's impossible. But with God, hang on, all things are possible. Hang on, all things are possible. Now, over if you would please, in the light of that. Oh, over to, on your way back, Matthew 26. And Matthew 26, verse 39. You know it. And he went a little further, the Lord did, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, O my Father, if it be possible, if it's able, let this cup pass from me. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. God, if it's able. God is able. It is able, but not in the plan, because before the foundation of the earth, God had determined to do just what he was going to do on Calvary's cross before he created anything. Now God, here we are looking, and able. Is God able? Absolutely, God is able, but he's going to have to go to the cross, because that's the will of God. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, God, you're able. Chapter 7 of Hebrews. Can the go through a camel's eye? No. Who then could be saved? No one. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And he had to go to the cross. Not my will, but thy will be done. And if I can, picking up, please, in Hebrews and in chapter 7. And you'll note it. You'll pick up our little word. Chapter 7, in the light of its context and everything. Verse 24. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able. There's your little word. Able. You cannot, you're not able. If you don't abide, you're not able. If you do abide, you are able. Why are you able? Because God is doing it. God is able. Without me, you can do nothing. It's me. It's God. I am that I am. I'm the one that does it. So when you hear such things, you say, well, it can't be. Yes, it can. And you'll pick up again in verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, completely, forever, to the end, forever. The uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So God, you're able to do, absolutely able to do, wonderfully able to do, whatever has to be done. And therefore, God, how come? Chapter 7, while you're here, over, slide over to verse 15. And it is far more evident, for that after the similitude, likeness of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, that's our Lord, having no beginning and no end, who is made not after the law of a carnal, fleshly commandment, but after the power of an endless life. An endless life. Now God, he make intercession. So Christ, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive, you will not perish. You have eternal life. Where is the eternal life? In the person of Jesus Christ, who is your life. When does the relationship to Jesus Christ end? Never. So if it never ends, it's called eternal life. Never ends. Never ends. Doesn't end. Doesn't end. Power of an endless life. God, when are you going to stop interceding? When are you going to stop providing your wonderful person, I am that I am, for our human heart so that we are complete, lacking nothing? Never. It's always just, always going to be there. Forever. Forever. Now, keeping that in mind, forever, if you would, in the light of God, remember now, Christ who is our life, and we're to look to him with all our heart. Over, if you would, to John chapter 17 for a moment. And to just remind you and myself, John chapter 17. And you will note, John chapter 17, and picking up, if I can, directly I'm going to go to verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And now remember, without getting all the rest of it, remember what? God the Son represented God the Father. You cannot represent God the Father without the Son. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, and you become a son in the Son, when you do, and what happens? As my Father sent me, I'm sending you. The Father isn't sending you, I am. You represent my resurrected life. And when you represent my resurrected life, you represent my Father. I am the one, God the Son, that reveals the Father. You don't reveal the Father. I don't reveal the Father. God reveals the Father in the Son. So that's why we are sent, we're sent representing Christ, who represents the Father. Now, keeping that in mind, and keep in mind while you're here, I know you know all these things, so much so, over to John and chapter 5 and verse 30, just for difference. All kinds of places, just recalling it, John chapter 5. And you'll notice, please, chapter 5, picking up, in verse 30. I can, there's your word able, I can of mine own self do how much? Nothing. I am able to do nothing apart from my Father. You are able to do nothing apart from me. It's easy. You can't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it without my Father. You can't do it without me. Without me, you can't do it. Verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Not my will, but thine be done, remember. If I bear witness, verse 31, of myself, my witness is not true. God didn't create humans for humans to walk around all puffed up. No, God created humans to show his wonderful person. He didn't create him so that we could be somebody. He created us so that he could be somebody in us. That's awesome. That's an awesome thing. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to deal with us, and according to your ability and ableness, we are able in your ability to do whatever you have in mind. So therefore, we don't want to be without you. The branch doesn't want to be disconnected from the tree. Not at all. Not at all. And in doing so, you're going to do what? Galatians. Do it in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1. And you pick up Paul's testimony of being saved. And you will know, please, I'll read verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, I received Christ as my Savior, Christ in me, the hope of glory, into his heart, that I may preach him among the heathen, the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Slightly verse 24. What was the result? You received Christ as your Savior, verse 16. And Christ is God. Absolutely. Verse 24. And they glorified God in me. It wasn't about Paul or Saul or having his Pharisee and a Hebrew of Hebrews and, Roman citizen to boot. Wow. No, it wasn't about that. No, it was all about God. God finding his home in a human heart. For God to be God. And we are, back to the instinct. God is your instinct if you're saved. God in you fulfills all the instinct that a spider has. God fulfills his life in you. Wow. So whether you eat or you drink, you do it to what? To the glory of God. That's what you do. An ordinary life in an extraordinary way. That's what people see. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and no flesh, remember, is going to glory in his presence at all. So now, having said that, keeping that, and I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And all of those wonderful, 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 wonderful truths that we ought to know and understand that without God we can't do anything. But with God, nothing's impossible. That's why he said back in John 14 and that, you're going to do greater things than I did, more. I'm going to do them in you. I'm going to do them in your home, your work, your school, your family, your heartache, your headache. I'm going to do them in you. And therefore, you ask whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. If you don't mind, I'll do it. What do you want, God? What do you want? What do we want you to do? Honor yourself. Where? In us. Glorify yourself. That's what it's about. For you to demonstrate what? A risen Christ. Not a crucified Christ. A risen Christ. Full of life. John chapter 10. I have come that they might have life and what? Have it more abundantly. That's what it's about. Abundant, but not stingy. God's never stingy. Everything is multiply. Multiply. Multiply grace, multiply peace. It's God. How can you deal with God and not have Abel? Nothing. The branch, a little old branch, little old twig coming out like that. But boy, that great big sequoia tree, grapevine. Wow. Man, the life of that. Wow, sucking up water all the way to the top in its magnificent life, drawing life. And the little branch is just what? It's attached to what? Endlessness. Endless power. You are my witnesses. Power. Dynamite. Wow. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, so to be able. Over to Ephesians, you're right next door, not far away. And remind yourself, as we look at this, God doing what he does in his most awesome way. Ephesians, and in chapter 3, picking up in verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, ability. Wow. God, you do that. I do. I get the power. You receive power, ability. Uh-huh. Now, having said that, you slide along. Verse 16. that in the great prayer, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might, by his Spirit in the inner man. So God, what are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for you to be strengthened by his might. There's your little word, might. Able, might. Wow. Sliding down over to verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power, there's your ability, that worketh in us. Now God, the branch, is all of the dynamic of the whole tree, providing for it. God, in his awesome fullness, I am that I am, in his fullness, providing in his Son, in the heart, all of the fullness of God, the ability of God, the caring of God, the love of God, moving in the heart, in the branch, without any interruption. Now God, here we receive you as our Savior. Now, and we go pay attention to you now and then, God, you know, a little devotional or something, maybe. And we do that. But God, know what? God, did you stop being God in my life? Did God stop being God in your life? The dynamic, the awesome, you just aren't abiding. And if you don't abide, you aren't going to know. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, oh, over if you would, that would probably help. Over to, Timothy. Over to Timothy, and we'll go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Now, here's Paul about to depart. He's going to die, Nero and all of that. And here's 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and in verse 12. I'm just looking at Paul. He's going to depart. I'm interested in Paul. Paul, you have survived this long, all the way to the to this time of his death, trusting God. He revealed his Son in me. God was in me of a truth, and I lived for him. He lived his life in me. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why not? For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able. Are you persuaded? Here's a question for you. What have you done in your life that you found that he was able? In your life, where have you did and exercised an experience and found he was able? How many experiences that he was able? Good question. That you found he was able. Or is that not in your experience? You see, it's supposed to be in your experience that he's able, and you've found him able. No? Now, God, that's the issue. Paul, what did you find? In your life, you found that he was able, verse 12, able to keep that which I've committed in a deposit, like in the bank, keep that which I committed unto him against that day. My soul, my substance, my everything, my whole situation. How did you ever get this far? God was able in me to make it get this far. Stoning and shipwreck and snake bites and everything else. How did you ever make it, Paul? God was able. I trusted God and he was able. Wow. So God, here we are looking. And we're looking. And so therefore, God, over to 1 Peter. Now, Peter, you have the same thing. Peter has to go through what he does. and is going through what he does. So now, in 1 Peter, picking up the thought, in the light of all the trials and tribulations, I'll read it that way first. Verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, and it was, you are in heaviness through manifold all kinds of trials and tests and trouble, and proving that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, yet rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow, you're looking. Now, back over to verse 5. How can all that be? Because you are kept by the power, the ability of God to save unto the uttermost. That's why. Paul, how could you say it? Because he starts it, he's going to finish it. And what did he tell in Matthew 6 and that? I told you, you have to understand, I am the life. You leave me out, you don't have any. You have a wonderful existence, maybe, on earth, but you don't have any life. Wow. So therefore, verse 5 again, who are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So you're looking for that. Now, over, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Peter, are you still? I am still there, Paul said. Peter said, Paul said, each of them. So here's 2 Peter, and in chapter 1, picking up verse 3. According as his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to what? Glory, virtue, superiority. He called you to represent his marvelous person in a superior way, to demonstrate life. Extraordinary. Because he is your instinct. He is the life. But if you never do it, you'll never know it. You can say, I'm saved. And you may be. But you never know it. Well, no one else does it. No, they don't. If you lived in Noah's day, boy, would you be lonely. Noah's busy building the ark. I assume his sons helped him. I don't know what their pay was, but they did it. And all the rest of the world, they don't care. The world doesn't care now. Over 7 billion people. Who cares? Not many, comparatively. Not at all. So therefore, God, you're able to do the divine power, your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ability to do. You promise, and you're able to do it. That's right. Now, in closing, you got that part? A little bit. That's what God said, you cannot, if you don't abide in me, you cannot produce any fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, but I can, see, he said, I, and the other side of the coin, with me, you can do anything. Whatever I want, not what you want or what I want, what you want, God. Whatever God wants, that's what he can do. That's marvelous. Now, and God, that's what you're going to do. Now, God, I need a half a thought to encourage me, maybe. Over to Genesis 18. In Genesis and chapter 18, if I can. And you remember now Sarah and Abram. And in the process, they're going to have a child 100 years old, impossible to have any one child. Therefore, in the light of the context, chapter 18, number 12, verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, And it wasn't an outside. She was hiding, and she laughed. You know how you can laugh inside? Now God hears. Now, when you laugh inside, God hears you. When you think, God knows your thoughts before you ever thought them. And when you follow in every thought in your head and heart, God already knows it. Already. You haven't even thought it yet. Now, therefore, and the Lord said unto Abram, verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord, being old also, both of us are old, 100 and so, each of us. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh? You never heard her laugh, Abram, but God did. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? She said, it's not possible. Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is it too hard? Do you see that? It's an extraordinary word. In fact, the word H-A-R-D, you want to have / extraordinary. So hard, extraordinary, wonderful, awesome. It's impossible. No, it isn't. Is there anything impossible? He said no. One more time, over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. So they were had to be encouraged, and they're way back. Here we are in the New Testament, way in the church age, at the end of it, actually. And here we are, chapter 32. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Remember his prayer, Jeremiah's prayer. He's going to go and buy a piece of property. Remember, that's the whole context. He's going to buy a piece of property in Jerusalem, going to buy a piece of property, knowing that Nebuchadnezzar's going to level the city and no one's going to be left. Now, why buy a piece of property that you can never have? Because God, Jeremiah is going to demonstrate, God is going to finish the work and come back, and Jerusalem will be again occupied. That's why you have the piece of property. Show them. Buy the piece of property, it's yours, and in the future, you can have it. Now, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah. Like Abraham, impossible. Impossible. No, God, if you're going to do it, I can't. But as long as I stay attached, whatever you got in mind, God. The end of the prayer. Over, if you would please, to verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything, there's your little two little words, T-double-O, too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? A camel can go through a needle's eye, and if I want to do it, it'll be done. How's that? That's magnificent. That's God. That's why we're reading. We're trying to get a handle afresh because the deterioration everywhere. We have to overcome it and remind ourselves, God is not worn out. God is not on vacation. God, here you are. So God, there's nothing too hard for you. And God, so we're getting it, God, and we're getting it. And we're going to go out, God, and look at all the trees. We're going to look at the trees and try to find a branch that's working at it. And you aren't going to find one. You're going to find them all sitting there, content as can be. And you can yell at them, you can give them a scolding, but you know what? The branch is just going to sit there. That's what it's going to do. No matter what, you could even curse it. It's just going to abide. And that's what you're going to do. Maybe. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word and work. Spirit of God, help us. Thank you very, very much, God. It's wonderfully, wonderfully super-duper real and easy. But God, we just need help. So God, you have to help us deal with our heads and our hearts. We want to be able to have the real, encouraging, exercising experience that develops us and gives us the enjoyment of knowing you as our Lord and Savior. In spite of this body we live in spite of the world system, God, we're going to overcome it all in your wonderful grace. God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.